drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5. This is a renterswarehouse.com roadshow, live from Luke's Ice House in Beaumont. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5, powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? Or in this case, live from the 409. We are coming to you from Beaumont, from Luke's Ice House, where it is absolutely fantastic on the deck. And you know how they say sometimes when you want a vacation, you can't bring the city to you, but you can bring the guy to the city.
Fantastic,
the man who
right.
loves the 409, Nick Sciarra,
oh my God.
Has been brought right to the backyard in Luke's Ice House. Nick, you are in the 409. We drove down here. You're filling in for Barry. A beautiful day. How about that drive?
It was a good drive, and obviously you are trying to get me murdered here in Beaumont because you know the amount of fans that I have here in the 409. So I know what you're trying to do, but I'm not going to let you do it. And I know I'm going to get a lot of heat on the text line, but I'm not going to let them hurt my feelings either, like you've done the entire drive over here. But the drive wasn't that bad.
I hurt your feelings?
Yeah, you did.
I thought it was the scenery that hurt your feelings, not me.
Man, the scenery is great. It's actually, the weather's actually pretty good. There's a real good crowd here at Luke's Ice House.
Yep.
Bunch of specials.
Yeah, no doubt. From 11 to 7, by the way, I mean, 250 domestic bottles, Miller Lite, Coors Light, till you're blue in the face. Everybody's getting ready for college football tonight and the big weekend. And we'll have specials that we'll announce for you throughout the day about tonight and the weekend. But a fantastic place to watch some sports and kick back, see some good scenes.
Yeah, the drive was not that bad. I expected a bit of a mini road trip. My
yep.
threshold for being in a vehicle, honestly, is like 4 hours.
Yep.
Can't do more than 4 hours in a car, but this was not that bad. It really wasn't that bad of a drive.
I want to tell you something right now. If A is Houston and B is for Beaumont, there is nothing to see about the ABCs in driving in between. Because if they could take like a vice grip and just bring Houston and Beaumont and squeeze them together
yep.
and avoid everything in between, it would be fantastic. Because I've never seen any place in my life where there is a massive bridge over land.
I know. And as I was driving, I was basically taking pictures of nothing in like 15-minute increments.
Uh-huh.
Like 5-6 times. It was just nothing, 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 building, nothing, nothing, building.
That's, first of all, very safe that you're driving and taking pictures at the same time.
Well,
that's
I'm a multitasker.
Multitasking is one thing. Multi-dangerous is another.
Well, there weren't any cops around. I looked both. You know, I looked.
Oh, so now you're looking for cops and taking pictures while you're trying to keep your vehicle on the road.
Well, you don't want to get a ticket. I mean, wait. The rule doesn't apply to taking a picture on the road, does it?
Well, I think you're referring to the rule of thumb, which would be the only available digit you had on your hand that wasn't doing something other than driving the car, trying to get down here.
I mean, you drive with one hand on the wheel sometimes, and then you know. Use your phone.
When you're taking pictures, you are...
Of nothing. I'm just, just quick shots. Just, you know what I mean? It's not really that big a deal.
So you're using one hand to take pictures, I assume. Your eyes are on, looking out for cops, which means they're not on the road. And Lord knows what you're doing with the other hand when it's not steering, if you can steer with your leg. But I am just warning people, Nick Sciarra will be on the road between 4 and 7 on I-10 heading towards Houston. Please be aware.
I just want you to know, I do an amazing job driving with my knees. I do it all the time, and I'm a pro at it. Like a pro.
So
yeah, I could have had, if I wanted to, I could have had a free hand.
Which yep. one of the three knees do you use? The left knee, the right knee, or the weenie?
Well, you got to use.
Because I know you're using every possible resource to get that thing home.
I mean, I can use my left knee, my right knee, and just literally eat. Like, I'll eat fast food and drive with my knee. I know it's bad. And then when it comes down to, to turn, you put the drink down, you put your hamburger down.
Has Barry not taught you anything about what you do
Barry
and don't admit
me about
on the
driving.
Air?
He's no, a pathetic
but
driver.
What you admit on the air can incriminate you.
No, I'll be all right. I'll be all right.
All right, I'm just checking because we're happy to be down here. We know we've got a huge following and a great fan base in the 409. Some negative, most positive. I'm not trying to get you hurt. Dwight Howard's little brother, Drew, is here. He's our personal bouncer. He also works with the promotional team. He's going to be here all night making sure that everybody is taken care of with lots of games and opportunities to win prizes from ESPN 97.5. Sales guy Wes King is here. He is running for mayor of Beaumont in the next election. He went to Lamar University, and he will be signing autographs and taking selfies for at least the next 3 hours, if not longer. Please buy Wes as many beverages as you possibly can. And if you want to join the show, Tyler Scott's back at the studio filling in for Nick, who's filling in for Barry. So if you want to reach us on Twitter, it's at the producer Nick, at producer T Scott, at Pac-Man Joel with a K. We are the usual suspects, and we're going to be down here at Luke's Ice House for the next 3 hours talking sports and things, and there's plenty to talk about. There was a football game last night, Nick, in case you watched it.
Those Packers suck.
Yeah, I knew you wanted to say that, but when you win a game that big and need a weather delay just to stay in it, I don't think that I have anything to worry about then.
Absolutely not. And everybody was talking about how the weather delay was going to benefit the Bears.
Yeah.
And it just did not. It just did not happen. It was, I think it was 14-0 going into the weather delay, correct?
And, yeah, and it should have been 21. They had a chance to make it 21 before the weather delay. But the one thing that it sticks out with me on the weather delay is, when did Bill Cowher get on the Chicago Bears payroll? Because he was trying to convince everybody for over 45 minutes that out of this weather delay, the Bears were coming out running the football. They were dominant. That already the passing game looked great for Chicago. I'm going, what game was he watching?
Yeah, and you know what? I kind of felt the same way about Tony Romo when he was talking about the Packers. Did you get a sense that he kind of, like, he was favoring the Packers when he was calling the game, or did you think he was pretty neutral?
I didn't get, you know how much I hate Troy Aikman, but I did not get that from Romo. But I do realize if people did get that from Romo, it's because he was born in Wisconsin and they kind of highlighted that. But I don't think, he may have been a Packer fan growing up. But
I know you and Barry really liked him, and a lot of people did.
I think as a broadcaster, I could listen to Tony Romo before I would pick a lot of guys that are doing a lot of national games covering the NFL, because I like the fact that he, as an ex-player, utilizes everything that he's learned watching film and in the film room and studying offenses and defenses, because he still, again, last night was predicting what was going to happen before it happened and then diagramming it for the simple fan at home to try and understand what was going to happen. I like that.
Yeah, I think he does a good well. Like, he did predict a lot of those plays between the, what, two or three broadcasts that he's been on since signing with CBS. He does it well. He does see the game. And the good thing about it is that he's only a year removed, or less than a year removed, from actually playing on the field. I know he was injured for a good portion of the season last year, and that's the reason why Dak Prescott was able to get his opportunity. But, yeah, I think he did well. I think the other thing that stuck out to me, I felt like Mike Glennon got way too much heat for that game. I felt like, and I think I was listening on the podcast, or on, I think it was another station, and they were just basically going off on Mike Glennon. And I felt like, you look at what the receivers were doing. I mean, there was a bunch of passes I felt like were pretty accurate, and they were dropping them. And then he just had to throw the ball so quickly. And that's not something he could do. Aaron Rodgers could do that. But Mike Glennon doesn't really have the ability to throw the ball that quickly with pressure coming at him.
Well, let's first of all make sure that Romo pointed out several times that there were only throws that two people on the planet could make. Aaron Rodgers was one of them, just so you can get on your Packer love. But from the standpoint of Glennon, I don't disagree with you, but this is very similar to the Houston Texans situation, where you know that you've got the quarterback in waiting in Trubisky. You know that he's going to hopefully be your future quarterback for a long, long time. But do you risk putting him out there when that offense is in that much disarray? When they looked as bad as they looked, when the offensive line, and we know the Texans' offensive line is bad, and everybody's worried about it, but if you're worried about the Texans' offensive line, and you watched what the Bears were doing last night, he really had no time to pass. And when he did pass, he was under duress, and he was throwing them all over the place. A lot of them were dropped, too. He made some good passes that were dropped, but I don't put the blame on Glennon at all. There's far more people to be blamed before you start pointing the finger at Glennon.
Yeah, I mean, I can't tell you how many passes that I felt like were pretty accurate. And then the snaps, like in the first quarter, there was like two or three bad snaps. Like, the guy was throwing the ball all over the place. And thankfully for Glennon, he's kind of like a long, lanky dude, so he's able to catch the football and still make a play. He actually made a reception on one of those bad snaps. And I just felt like the dude, you know, the center was just, he was just nervous. I don't even know who the center is, but like I just felt like he was nervous when he was making those snaps, and it just continued to get worse. It looked sloppy. It looked really sloppy, and I don't think you can blame Mike Glennon for all that, so it's going to be interesting.
I agree with you, and then, you know, now when the weather delay hit, and then throughout the night, it was, when are they going to make the change? And after the game, it was, is it time now to make the change? And when will John Fox make the change? I think in order to make the change, when you're talking about someone that's so valuable to your franchise's future, you only make it when you're confident that he's going to be secure when he takes over the reins. Because we saw what happened to David Carr. Yep. We know that's not a good look for a franchise or a player, and it can scar you for the rest of your career. Luckily, the Texans got their line somewhat straightened out, and because you have an athletic mobile quarterback like you have in Deshaun Watson, it's worked out for the Texans. As you said, I don't think Trubisky is that kind of athlete, and the sample size on Trubisky is more half a season in college than it is what you saw in the championship runs of Deshaun Watson and Clemson. So you've got to be a lot more – you have to face a lot more scrutiny, and you got to do a lot more analysis before you put Trubisky in a position like that because you want him to succeed.
Yeah, and all the hype really around Trubisky is really what he's done in the preseason. And one of the things I wanted to kind of Google and search was – how many people showed or how many quarterbacks showed that they could play in the preseason and that actually transitioned into the regular season and they actually became a decent quarterback. I can't think of them off the top of my head. But, yeah, it's really hard to just base the hype off of preseason, and that's what you have in Trubisky. I also think it's a different situation because Texans never really had a quarterback. The Bears have a history of some decent quarterbacks.
Did you see the list last night?
Of the Bears
between
or the
two franchises?
No.
Green Bay, five quarterbacks over the last, since 1992, they've had five quarterbacks total. The Bears have had over 30. And it was like a rolling, scrolling list of Bears quarterbacks. If you're a Chicago Bears fan, you have to be so hypersensitive because you've had so many quarterbacks that if you wasted the pick or you moved up to get this guy, you got to protect him. You got to be so worried about this guy taking a beating until they get the right offensive line situation.
Absolutely. The offensive line is really important. They're going to have to do something about that. But, yeah, but by the way, what are the domestics are what? $2.50 domestics, $4.50. You call it here at Luke's
Ice House. So we're at Luke's Ice House. 11 to 7 p.m. are the specials because after us, the Blitz are going to be here as well. $2.50 domestics. That means Coors Light, Miller Light. Get yourself buckets if you want, but $2.50 domestics and $4.50, you call it. And you can get any kind of mixed drinks on those call it. The most popular, of course, Tito's and Jack Daniels, but they also have Bacardi and Malibu and others. We're going to be here. You should be here. Come on out to Luke's Ice House in Beaumont. We'll be back with a whole lot more with the usual suspects right here on ESPN 97.5.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Luke's Ice House in Beaumont. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
On the right side, snap to Rodgers. Dumps it over the middle. Got his man inside the five. Spinning is Devontae Adams. Hammered down hard. He was hit high and hard, and he's down between the hash marks. Penalty marker thrown. That was helmet to helmet.
Me and him talking, you know, he was like, you know, that happens when you're just one of the hardest hitters in the NFL. He said, you know, stuff happened, man. He said he didn't want to see this guy go down. You know, I said the same thing. I never want to see that happen to anybody, especially in our profession. We're all brothers, but, you know, I'm trying to win the game. I'm not a dirty player, so I don't dirt hits.
We're The Usual Suspects, and we are back here from Luke's Ice House in Beaumont, where it is a beautiful day inside and out. We happen to be out on the deck. You should be, too. Get your favorite beverage and sit around, talk some sports with us in the Blitz for the next couple hours till 7 p.m. We were talking about the Monday Night Football game before the break, and I guess one of the big stories, besides just the absolute domination of the Green Bay Packers, was the fact that late in the game, linebacker Danny Trevathan hit wide receiver Devontae Adams of the Green Bay Packers. If you listen to the guys in the locker room, he was out cold before he hit the ground. A lot of people are talking and taking sides on this issue. The big thing was Devontae Adams was being held by two defenders, and Danny Trevathan took a running start, helmet to helmet, head went back, mouthpiece went out. He was out instantaneously. They brought a stretcher, a very scary situation. If you heard right there the ESPN radio call, and you also heard Trevathan's comments after the game that he's not a dirty player. He didn't do it intentionally. Aaron Rodgers at the podium mentioned the fact that, hey, Danny said he didn't try and do it intentionally, so I believe him. But, and also made mention of the fact that it was a problem that there was so much celebration about a hit that violent. Your thoughts on what was an ugly ending to what was otherwise a pretty decent game.
Yeah, I mean, he got leveled. I mean, when you could hear it on TV, the guy just got absolutely leveled. And I was actually scared for him because I remember us talking, like when we first met last football season, I was telling you why I wasn't so high on Davante Adams because I felt like, you know, it was more about the fantasy perspective, and he just didn't perform for me, and he really didn't perform on the field. But you can kind of tell that Aaron Rodgers continued to throw at him because he liked to throw at him, and he's been able to progress. So after two or three seasons of him working really, really hard, you hate to see him get leveled like that. And, yes, he was out before he hit the ground. And I think the worst part about it is Trevathan. Now, Trevathan claims he's not a dirty player. It's kind of hard to make that accusation looking at the play. But there is no question that he kind of came in full speed late. The guy was already wrapped up. He was going to the ground. Adams was not going anywhere. And he just gets nailed with the helmet to helmet. It's just, you know, it's just an unfortunate situation for sure.
So a couple of points on that, too, because you look at the how prolific the Packers wide receivers are. Davante Adams came into the game as the leading receiver yards-wise for a Packers receiving corps that features Randall Cobb, that features Jordy Nelson.
Yep.
And he had a touchdown earlier in the game. You're right that Rodgers has targeted him because he trusts him and he knows he's his best downfield option from a speed perspective. But in terms of the hit itself, we've talked about it a lot on this show. If a guy's going across the middle and a defensive player is coming to make a tackle, you don't know if the player's going to jump. You don't know if he's going to duck. You don't know what's going on. You're going full speed. So, therefore, you can't be punished, I don't feel, unless you make an intentional effort to try and take someone's head off. That's one where I will give you, hey, that's just part of the game, the speed of the play. You can't blame the defender. But when you got two of your own guys holding this guy up, and you can hit him anywhere from the rib cage to the thigh, and you hit him square in the middle of his face mask, the mouthpiece comes out, and you know, I think you more than targeted where you wanted to hit him. And as Romo said during the broadcast, there's a little frustration here. The Bears were getting used on defense.
Yep.
It was getting late in the game. They know that there's no turning back, and it looked like he unleashed all his frustration on Davante Adams.
And actually, a few plays prior to that, there was kind of a dirty hit by the Packers, but nobody really saw it because no one got real hurt. I forgot who the defender was, but it was kind of a dirty hit, and there was no call. And so you kind of saw this chippy, like, you just saw the tension just kind of rise in the game, mostly on the Bears' part because they obviously were losing by, what, two, three, four touchdowns at that point. So, yeah, I mean, unfortunate situation for Davante. I saw that he tweeted out that he's okay.
Yeah, good news is he tweeted he's home, he's okay, he appreciates the prayers. You just didn't want a guy to have his season cut short or to be severely injured on a play like that.
Yeah.
Especially at a point when the game was, it was a meaningless play in the game compared to, like you said, the game was pretty much over.
Yep.
And you know that these two teams are going to play each other again. Benches were clearing as the aftermath was ensuing when they were taking him off in a stretcher. Rodgers made reference to the fact that they were celebrating such a violent, illegal hit.
Yep.
The Bears were frustrated because of the fact that their defense wasn't holding up after beating the Steelers a week earlier. But these are divisional rivals. I mean, you saw the numbers. You know how long these two teams have been going at it. They're going to continue to go at it. But it's always been kind of like, hey, we're going to play as hard as we can, but it's going to be a clean kind of a
right.
above-board battle. There was some stuff last night that you were like, there's no place in football for that because, yes, it's a violent sport, but injuries happen in the spirit and speed of the game. They shouldn't happen because of someone actually targeting and intensifying hits late in the game at a point when it's meaningless.
Yeah, I mean, look, the game is violent. The game is super violent. So it's up to you as a defender. Running backs, they have to play with a very violent approach when they're trying to run the ball. But it's up to them to be a professional and channel that violence, channel that anger, channel that you know, that rage that they have and keep it on the field, obviously off the field, but keep it on the field and play it cleanly. I think it was a matter of the Bears, quite frankly, losing. It got real chippy. People started getting a little pushy, a little shovey, and then one thing led to the next. And next thing you know, you see Davante Adams leveled. You know, not a good look. And as far as the celebrating thing, again, I go back to channeling that rage, channeling that anger. When you just hit somebody and it's supposed to be a good defensive mood, it's really hard to like, oh, that was awesome, and then kind of just, you know, taper down. And I mean, I'm not trying to make any excuses for Danny Trevathan. It was obviously a pretty bad hit. But I'm just saying it does take some time to know how to control your rage when you're on the field. And make sure you don't, you know, have any dirty hits or dirty plays like that.
But it's almost like if you can imagine a bookshelf on a player, especially, I said, you throw this rule book out the window when you're talking about a moving player going across the middle, full speed, and a guy coming full speed at him. It's hard to take all that momentum and say, I'm going to hit a certain area, especially when the receiver can move laterally and you know, vertically and horizontally. It's another thing when two of your players are holding a guy up, and you know you're not supposed to target with your helmet anyway. But not only do you target with your helmet, but your helmet goes right to his helmet. And it's not while anyone's when the receiver's not moving at all.
Yeah.
And you can see and pinpoint where you're going.
Yeah.
So it's hard for me to go, yeah, that was 100% accidental.
Yeah. No, I'm with
you.
That's
my biggest problem with it.
And because I mentioned to you before that it didn't take him that long to get into, like, the full speed mode.
Yep.
It only took him like a few feet, so it didn't look like he was incredibly far. So he was kind of far, but not too far. But enough, I think, enough distance there to kind of make the decision, hey, I can. He's already down, maybe I should slow down. But Danny Trevathan obviously didn't do that.
And we are going to continue to talk NFL in the next segment as well.
Eric
as we get
Edholm.
Eric Edholm joining us, an NFL expert, so we can talk to him about the potential for Trevathan being suspended. We talked a little bit about Mitch Trubisky and the pressure now in Chicago that the Bears fans are clamoring to have Trubisky, the number one pick of the Bears, be sent moved up and elevated, Glennon and demoted, and do similar things to what the Texans did early in game one and have stuck with here in Houston that you're very familiar with. I see some similarities. The Bears' offensive line has not been good. We know the Texans' offensive line started out bad, has gotten better, and all that being said without Dwayne Brown. But interesting to see what the Bears decide to do, because if you're going to make a change like this, it's normally before a bye week or right after playing the Thursday night game, because now in the Bears' case, they have 11 days before they play again. If you're going to make the switch, now would be the time to do it, because now you've got all the practice time in the world to get this guy working with the ones and get him ready to be game speed and first team ready when they take the field again on a Monday night coming out of this long break.
Absolutely. And we'll talk to Eric Edholm. You can find his work on profootballweekly.com. Does a real good job of kind of covering the sport from a national perspective. So he can even talk Texans. He'll give his thoughts on the Davante Adams hit. Did he think it was dirty by Danny Trevathan or not? So Eric Edholm, we can bounce around with him. We'll have fun with him.
No question about it. We'll get his thoughts from a national perspective on a huge divisional game between the Texans and the Titans at NRG on Sunday. We know that the Texans dropped their opener at home to Jacksonville. These divisional games are hyper important, especially with a division that's up in the air. So we're going to talk to him about what he sees taking place on Sunday at NRG with the Titans and the Texans. Because if the Titans come into NRG and get a game from the Texans and go take a real leadership position in the division, the Texans facing an 0-2 home record in the division, that is not something that you can easily overcome. So we'll talk to Eric Edholm next. We'll get him his perspective on a lot of things NFL, including Texans and the game last night. And if you have questions for him, we're not going to take calls because of the remote, but you can hit us up on Twitter at Pac-Man Joel with a K, at the producer Nick, and or you can text us to that same contest line, 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. Back with Eric Edholm on The Usual Suspects. Don't go anywhere. ESPN 97.5.
Is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Luke's Ice House in Beaumont. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, we're back on The Usual Suspects. Hour one of the three-hour extravaganza continues to roll on as we are here at Luke's Ice House in Beaumont, and you should be too. I'm telling you right now, 2325 Calder Road in Beaumont. You come on down. We've got lots of things going on. The promo team is here with lots of giveaways. We got lots of drink specials, 11 to 7 p.m., 250 domestic bottles of Miller Lite, Coors Light, and, of course, 450 Collins. And you can register to win a free night stay at any Red Roof Inn. All you got to do is hit the promo table. We'll have four drawings at 2 o'clock, 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock, and... Oh, you changed it on me. Okay, so 2, 3, 4, and 5. Every hour, we're going to give away a stay at the Red Roof Inn. I don't know why you might need it. Some of you in scanning the crowd may enjoy it. I'm saying others, it's going to be a great place to stay. Regardless, register right now, and we'll give away a Red Roof Inn night getaway once an hour between now and 5 o'clock.
You should be here. Luke's Ice House. Everybody come join. You know who else should be here, or at least on the air? Eric Edholm. And he's on the HRMP hotline. Eric Edholm, at Eric_Edholm on Twitter. He does a good job writing for Pro Football Weekly. Eric, what up, man?
Everything's good. What's happening, fellas?
Not much, man. I kind of wanted to start out with this Thursday night football game. You know, where are you with that Devontae Adams hit by Trevathan? I mean, did you feel like there was a potential opportunity for him to kind of slow down, maybe not aim for his head as much? I mean, where are you on that big hit?
Yeah, I mean, I thought the referee described the play well, which was it was clearly helmet to helmet, you know, and obviously I know those some things can happen, you know, in the course of action and you know, guys duck suddenly or you know, the offensive player moves. That didn't happen on this play that I could tell. His progress had been slowed. And so Trevathan comes in head first and goes right for the helmet. And, you know, when a player's momentum has been stopped like that, it's a scary deal, and you see somebody flying like that. You know, I was at the game last night, and the Packers players, they were upset about the hit, but they were equally, if not more, as mad about the fact that Trevathan seemed to be kind of celebrating the hit while Adams is laying there not moving. I mean, it was scary. I've never seen trainers fly off the sideline as fast as they did. For a few moments there, we all held our breath like, oh my gosh, this could be really, really bad. The fact that Adams is out of the hospital is great. But yeah, that hit, I believe, will lead to a suspension. It'll fall into the egregious category, and you know, we'll see where the NFL goes with it.
Eric, I was watching it with you. I was with you in the fact that the minute that the hit took place, before he even hit the ground, Jordy Nelson was motioning for the trainers to get out there immediately. So you knew that from a violence perspective and from the hit itself, that it was egregious. The other thing that I would say, and I agree with you, I said this before we brought you on, was it's one thing if a receiver's going over the middle and both guys are moving at a very high rate of speed. It's tough to change your momentum and your direction and target a certain area because receivers have a tendency to jump or duck. But in that case, when defenders are already stopping the progress and holding a guy and he goes straight for the head, I got to believe that not only is there going to be a suspension, but it's probably going to be a lot stiffer than it would be if it was a play where a guy was going across the middle.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. I mean, you know, it's one thing two fast-moving objects crash into each other. That kind of happens. But there was only one quick-moving object at this point, and that was Trevathan. Now, I mean, we should say I've never, you know, I spent a little time in the Bears, you know, facility, and he's a mild-mannered guy. He hits like a truck. I mean, Aaron Rodgers said that last night. He said, you know, last year, Trevathan hit one of our guys as hard as a hit as I can remember back to 2005 when Derrick Brooks hit him on green. So, you know, that's part of it. He's just he laid lips. And Randall Cobb was his college teammate. He said, look, I've known him for years. I know Danny. I've never known him to be a dirty player, somebody who headhunts. You know, he doesn't have that reputation. So that said, he made a play that, and you know, and Cobb said, look, these guys were kind of losing their cool a little bit out there, getting chippy, emotions were kind of running hot. I don't know what was going on with Trevathan. He said it wasn't intentional. Aaron Rodgers said he believed him when he said he wasn't trying to hurt Adams in that way, but yeah, it doesn't mean it's not worth suspension or a penalty or some kind of serious fine, I think.
We're speaking with Eric Edholm here on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN975.com. We are live from Luke's Ice House. And I kind of want to go to the Bears quarterback situation because over there in Chicago, I mean, how would you compare their quarterback situation to what we have down here in Houston, Texas? I mean, they feel like Trubisky should probably make a start or at least be put in the game. But I think it's a different situation for Houston Texans fans. They've already made their decision to go with Deshaun Watson, but where are you in terms of putting Trubisky in the game, and how would you compare the Texans quarterback situation to the Bears quarterback situation?
Yeah, I mean, obviously they're different in one respect in that, you know, the Bears went out and bought Mike Glennon for a lot of money and paid a lot of money and bought him with the idea that he would be their starting quarterback for an indeterminate amount of time. That didn't change. When they went out and signed Glennon, they still had every intention of trading up for Trubisky, which you know, it sounds a little funny, right? You spend major dollars on a free agent, and at least for 1 year. I know it's a three-year deal, but it's going to end up being a one-year deal for a quarterback. And then all of a sudden, you make this dramatic trade up, and you draft your future right there. People kind of thought, what kind of plan is this? It does make some sense, though. I mean, because they didn't necessarily think a guy with 13 college starts coming from a shotgun system could just step right in and be your week one starter. But the timetable changed a little bit. And I think John Fox's comments last night, it was the first time that he kind of left the door open. You know, he did say on the one hand, look, we've got bigger problems than quarterback. But on the other hand, he said, we're going to make some changes. And he kind of said it in a way like, okay, you know, it's coming. So I don't know if that means Monday night next week against the Minnesota Vikings. You know, I don't know if it's the week after that. But Mitch Trubisky is going to be under center soon. In the case of the Texans, I mean, you know, they had not invested in the same way. Now, had this been Brock Osweiler last year, different story. Same kind of deal where they spent all this money to get the guy. But with Glennon, it essentially is going to end up being a one-year deal. You know, he just hasn't shown that willingness to pull the trigger. You know, he's missed some guys, taken some sacks, failed to feel pressure. You know, with Savage, as steady as he might have been leading up to the season, you know, I think the feeling was not that he was going to be the 16-game starter and that he could lead him to the playoffs. He just got way sped up. I don't think anyone thought 30 minutes of football was going to be where the hook happened. Now it looks like it may be the right move.
Eric, looking at that game last night, I know you religiously pick the Packers in the Super Bowl every single year, which is exactly what we want and appreciate. But looking at that game last night, Aaron Rodgers pulls that game out against Cincinnati and then looks better and better last night. Romo kept saying, hey, don't judge the Packers on what they did in the first 3 weeks. Judge them more midseason when they get healthy. Fair assessment of that team? We know they have offensive line issues and injury issues, but if they get healthy, can they compete with the Atlanta Falcons?
Yeah, I think they can. I think it would do them a whole lot of good if they could get home field advantage. I mean, that, you know, playing in Atlanta hasn't gone well the last two times. And they, you know, they just don't seem as comfortable in a dome. I know they've had, you know, big games under roofs before. And, you know, they, in theory, should be fine in those situations. But, you know, head-to-head against the Falcons, you want to be able to play in the Green Bay. I mean, that's just all things considered. I think that's just a much better advantage for them. But, yeah, I mean, tough week one win, unimpressive week two against the Falcons. You know, kind of had to slug their way through it against the Bengals in overtime. And then, like you said, all the injuries coming, you know, full circle here with offensive line, linebacker, running back, receiver. I mean, it's just unbelievable how many position groups they've had that have just been crushed. So, you know, we'll see what these next 10 days look like. Good to get a little extra rest over the weekend. You know, I don't know what Devontae Adams' status will be. It doesn't sound like Ty Montgomery is going to play anytime soon. Maybe some of the offensive tackles could start getting healthy and ready for week five. But, this is a team that was 4-6 a year ago, 1-6 straight, got to 10-6. That certainly, we could see something even better than that this year if they prevent, you know, falling in a hole in the next, 5 to 6 games or something like that.
I don't know if you heard it or not. Mitch Trubisky's family is here. They yelled "Go Bears" during that last commentary. So, you know, at least there are certain people that want the Trubisky era to start in Chicago sooner rather than later. Nick wanted to talk a little bit about the game that's big here in Houston coming up this weekend.
Yeah, so just real quick, because the AFC South right now is kind of up for grabs. I mean, you've got the Titans looking a lot better than they have in recent history. The Jaguars, I mean, I'm not necessarily sold on them being a team to take the division. I think they're a little bit better than what they were last year. But ultimately, man, we're down here in Houston. What is your official thoughts on the Texans-Titans game?
Yeah, obviously. I mean, I kind of felt like the Texans might be a very intriguing team this year and hasn't gotten off quite the start that everyone expected. But you saw the seeds of success in that game against the Patriots. I know there are no moral victories, but you saw the elements that could make them a good team. You know, the pressure was getting home up front. Watson impressed with his poise and his athleticism and the plays he made with his arm. You know, you obviously want some kind of secondary target to open up. You want Bill O'Brien to manage games better. The last 8 minutes were just atrocious. I mean, there's no other way to say it. Watching, you know, I didn't get to see it live because I was actually at the game you know, on in Pittsburgh Chicago game. But man, watching it on tape, I was getting frustrated. You know, like, the timeout usage, the clock usage, all that stuff, the decision making. You know, the lack of a timeout there at the end for 10 or 12 seconds. So that kind of stuff has to get cleaned up. But that defensive trio they have up front can wreak some havoc. The secondary has to get better communication-wise. You know, and this Titans team, I mean, they look pretty composed, disciplined. They can beat you with the pass one week. They can come with you a power run the next. So, you know, tricky little test. I mean, they're the Titans. They're the Texans. This is an evenly matched game, but the Titans feel like they're a little bit more composed right now. So we'll see if that comes to play on Sunday.
Eric, we always appreciate you spending some time with us. If you want to follow him, you can find him on Pro Football Weekly, or better yet, follow him on Twitter, @Eric_Edholm. Eric, as always, we look forward to catching up with you throughout the season, but we appreciate your expertise.
All right, enjoy the game Sunday, fellas. See ya.
There you go. Nick will find you at the game. Texans-Titans from NRG on Sunday. That's on deck. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about a whole lot more. Don't go anywhere. Much more of the usual suspects coming right up on ESPN 97.5.
Is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Luke's Ice House in Beaumont. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, The Usual Suspects back from Luke's Ice House right down here in Beaumont, where you should be. Join us on the deck, 11 to 7 p.m., 250 domestic bottles of Coors Light, Miller Lite, 450 call it. A great spot on a great afternoon with a lot of good-looking people hanging out, drinking some beers, and having some fun. Nick is here filling in for Barry, along with yours truly, Joel. Tyler back at the studio. Nick, you got some text messages you want to catch up on?
Yeah, 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. One from right here on the 409. Where is Barry Laminack? He is out and about. He is in Dallas. He's got a stand-up comedian show. Was it Hyenas in Dallas?
Hyenas in Dallas. Yeah. So if you're in the Dallas area this evening, Barry likes long, sensual hugs.
Huge hug.
Big hugs. Like, hold them for 15 seconds. And when you're walking away, if you give him a small shot to the genitals, he's not going to be upset.
Or smell his neck for like a half a second.
Yeah, either one of those things he's very much acceptable with.
All right, 713-780-3776. I actually got Nick's the best from the 409. And not to mention, Lauren Pope is in the building, and she said she'd provide security as well.
Not only did I have to point her out to you, but I was going to say that not only did the papal caravan pass by, but now that the pontiff is here, Lauren Pope, the entire show can continue as scheduled. I expect tweets. I expect pictures. But when one of the loyal suspects like Lauren is here, then everything is just incredibly better. By the way, speaking of better, Astros fans, Jeff Blum, the color commentator for the Astros on AT&T Sportsnet, 3:30, joining us on his way to Fenway Park as he covers game two of that big Astros-Red Sox series. Astros with a 12-2 win last night. Correa looks like he is in midseason form again, ready to go for the postseason. Astros still one game behind the Indians for best record in the American League. Unfortunately, tiebreaker goes to the Indians, so they have to win it outright by a game. Indians opening up a series with the Chicago White Sox starting this evening.
Now, earlier in the first segment, I told you that I could drive with my knees. This is the last text.
Right.
I told you I could drive with my knees. I'm about to tweet out a photo of John Granato. For those of you who don't know, and most people know who John Granato is, he's a big...
Wait, as John would say, and who doesn't?
And who doesn't? He texts me a picture in his Mercedes. I think he just wanted to text me the picture so he can show the steering wheel with the Mercedes emblem. But yeah, he knee driving while taking pics and texting, mad skills. That's from your boy,
you know,
John Granato.
There's no doubt about it. Granato does that while he's using his app to order his Starbucks, and then he doesn't take a parking spot. He parks right outside the door as that, you know, the handicap ramp. He parks right in front of it so he can run in, get his Starbucks on the way to
the
station.
He does the app thing where he doesn't have to wait in line.
Yeah, when you're the godfather, John Granato, you get to do all those things. You use an app for Starbucks. You drive the Mercedes with your knees. You park wherever you want.
Although he probably is holding a Coors Light right now, driving with his knees. I don't think he's just taking pictures. I think he's probably holding a beer, which you can get for $2.50 right here at Luke's Ice House.
And in most cities and states across America, that would be illegal. Are you saying that in Texas that...
I think John Granato might be driving around with a Coors Light in his hand right now. Well, HPD, beware.
It's better than a driver or a putter. Because if he's driving around with a putter in his hands, there's a reason why he's using his knees to steer the wheel. I'm just saying.
All right, but Astros game, right? Jeff Blum coming up at 3:30. Yep. What was it, 12-2 Astros over the Boston Red Sox? I didn't get a chance to see it. I was watching the Packers demolish the Bears last night.
As you should have. But look, I mean, the bottom line is a lot of people were hoping that this Red Sox-Astros series was going to be a series that neither team cared about, that everything would have been decided, so the Astros didn't have to tip their hand in terms of showing their pitching staff that would be starting games in the playoffs, as well as trying to set their lineup and their playoff roster. But instead, the games still matter. A.J. Hinch and his crew has said, hey, we're going to go out and try and win every single game to try and get the best possible position going into the postseason. They are looking like they are a team that's warming up at the right time. Another double-digit run-scoring effort, another big-time win against the Red Sox. They are continuing to pile on the wins. And by the way, for a lot of people, especially national prognosticators, who said there was no way this Astros team was going to get to 100 wins with the season closing in on closing out, in fact, they win number 99 last night. They now have three shots to get number 100, which is a milestone in Major League Baseball. I do, too.
Now, the question is, have they decided on whether or not they will start Verlander or Keuchel come playoff time?
Well, the rotation is going to be Verlander and Keuchel 1-2. Right now, from what we are hearing, Verlander will be the number one. Keuchel will be in game number two. The Red Sox switching it up and going to start Chris Sale in number two, looking like Drew Pomeranz in game one, and then they'll fall in from there. We talked about it at length yesterday in terms of what could happen with the rotation. But the most important thing is Verlander will not be on the mound for the Astros in this series, nor will Dallas Keuchel. Peacock pitched last night, probably your game three starter. You're going to see Charlie Morton with a stint against the Red Sox tonight. But overall, I think A.J. Hinch is in a great position because he's going to keep his 1-2s very fresh leading into that series against the Red Sox. He can show Brad Peacock, who really showed that he's got the right stuff and has had it all season long in the game last night. Morton will get some innings. But overall, I think the Astros are in a more powerful position because they also have that lineup that's hitting. And when they are all healthy, they're the best hitting team in baseball. And the Red Sox, last in the American League and last in the major leagues in home runs. Yep. They don't hit a lot of extra base hits. They have to manufacture a lot of runs. And that's when there's more hyper-focus on your pitching staff because you're not scoring a lot of runs. You're not getting a lot of extra base hits. The Astros, the biggest problems that they have are throwing out runners. That's all right because if they do everything else well, that's the last thing you got to worry about.
So what's the biggest concern? Real quick before we go to break, what is the biggest concern for you? Is it the bullpen still a huge concern for you going into the postseason or no?
I don't have as much trust in the back end of the bullpen as a lot of people do. Ken Giles has been a little shaky lately.
You've been hating on Giles all season long.
But I do love the guys set up for the 6th, 7th, and 8th. Giles is a guy that, like I said, in a one-run game, I don't like the fact that he has a propensity for putting the leadoff runner on, whether it be by hit or walk.
Yep.
But he does find a way to pitch his way out of it because he does hit triple digits on the fastball. But other than that, that's nitpicking because of the fact that the bullpen seems to be getting their strength back. Their arms are healthy again. And I like the fact that overall, as long as your starters gets you through five, you've got a bullpen that can carry you 6, 7, 8, 9. So with that being said, we're going to do our first drawing for our first Red Roof Inn giveaway for a room, a John Hernandez. John Hernandez, congratulations. You are the first winner of a night stay at a Red Roof Inn. No, they won't leave the light on for you, but they will have a red roof waiting just for you, my friend. We'll be back with a whole lot more. One in the books, two to go. Plenty more of the big show. It's the usual suspects from Luke's Ice House in Beaumont right here on ESPN 97.5.